Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Life Vision Month here at 2019, headed into 2020. I hope you guys are having an incredible time revising and crafting your life vision. For today's episode, we have a super, super special guest. She's a best-selling author of two books, Unstoppable and Unstoppable Woman. She's an international speaker and a transformational teacher. She's the founder and CEO of Unstoppable Foundation, whose focus is to ensure that every child on the planet has access to the lifelong gift of education. To date, they have provided a daily education to nearly 40,000 children, as well as access to life-saving services to over 78,000 men, women, and children in Kenya alone. Cynthia Kersey is on the line with us today. How are you doing today, Cynthia?
I'm fabulous, Jordan. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course, of course. Thank you for coming on for Life Vision Month. You're truly doing some incredible things, and I'm ready to share some of your awesome wisdom with the Lifebook community. So thank you.
Okay.
Well, let's talk. First, let's start with your work, you know, your authoring work, your transition from that authoring work into this incredible project you're working with now. How did this all come about, and how are you feeling right now? You must be feeling pretty good right now.
Well, yes, I am. So basically, back in 1996, I quit my job, cashed in my entire life savings to write my first book, Unstoppable. I'd always been inspired by, you know, stories like Walt Disney, who was on the verge of bankruptcy every 18 months for 30 years.
Wow, yeah.
And, you know, it's people think successful people, you know, are kind of born with something special. And I always got a lot of encouragement of hearing the story behind the story, right? What was challenging? How did they prevail, overcome? And so I wrote my first book. My purpose was to inspire people to live unstoppable lives. 18 months after the book came out, my 20-year marriage ended.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was devastated. And I went to my mentor, Millard Fuller, the founder of Habitat for Humanity. And I told him what had happened. And he said, when you have a pain in your life, you need a greater purpose.
Mm.
And I was thinking, well, I quit a corporate job, right, to write this book. I had a purpose, but that purpose was not bigger than my pain.
Mm.
And as I was talking to him, he said, well, why don't you build a house for a family in need? And, you know, I'd never done that before. I'd never built one house, but I thought, how many houses would I need to build to offset this pain in my life?
Wow.
And Jordan, it literally, you know, like I said, I'd never built one house. I thought, well, maybe five, right? It was $2,000 a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no, that's not it. And I thought 10, you know, or 25. And it wasn't until I got to the number 100 houses that felt bigger than my pain.
Wow.
And I'm a brand new author. I'm a single mom now living on a $14.95 book. I didn't have a big community. I didn't know a lot of people with money, but I had a purpose that was bigger than my pain.
That's incredible.
And so I ended up that year when I was speaking, I raised $200,000. I took a team of 18 people to Nepal. And we worked on three of the 100 homes that were built that year. And that was a really pivotal moment for me because, you know, I thought I was doing something really good for the people in Nepal. And it totally changed my life. You talk about life design and life purpose, but it gave me a deeper level of meaning.
Yes.
And from that point, I started integrating giving into my business. It became a core value for me.
Oh, it's incredible.
And I've been doing it for over 20 years. Yeah.
Yeah. You're really speaking our language when you talk about this generosity and this giving. And I like what you said about comparing it to your pain. I've never really made that distinction before.
Mm-hmm.
And what a noble way to respond in a situation like that. But I want you to move on to this idea of giving. I know mm-hmm. that you are very passionate about the concept of giving and people integrating it into their own lives for true happiness, fulfillment, and wealth, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Talk to me about that. Why is it so important?
Yeah.
What have you found to be the kind of magical results of it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So I did the trip in Nepal, and that year I made more money selling a $14.95 book than I was earning a six-figure income at Spring Communications when I quit that job, right, to write that book. And it was my first experience of really understanding the law of giving and receiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all heard in the scriptures, you know, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Mm-hmm. And it's a really important distinction. You know, spiritual teachers have been talking about this for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Right.
But yet we're not oriented as a society. You know, we're taught to be go-getters and not go-givers.
Oh, it's so true.
But what happens is if we wait to give, if you feel inspired, and to me, that's always the criteria, not to give out of obligation, but inspiration. But if you're feeling inspired to give and you don't do it, it's like we're withholding the good.
Mm-hmm.
And Trower talks about this in his book, chapter, The Spirit of Opulence and Hidden Power. And he says, our attention to create real wealth, our attention should be directed on the giving rather than the receiving. Mm-hmm. We must look upon ourselves not as miser's chests to be kept locked for our own benefit, but as centers of distribution. And the better we fulfill our function as such centers, mm-hmm. the greater will be the corresponding inflow.
Oh, that's great.
So I think the key is when we give, and you said that this is your language as well, you understand it's like you're giving as unto God, you're giving into the universe, however you talk about that, but you're not really giving anything away. You're recycling that energy, whether
totally.
It's money, whether it's love, and it will always come back to you.
Yes, I love that.
And the people who understand that, and there's not a lot of people, Jordan, that I've met that really understand that at a deep level. But those who do, you know, are prosperous beyond anything they ever thought would be possible. And it's because they're such big givers.
That's so true. All of the most wealthy and successful, and I would just use the word abundance. The people with the most abundance that I know are always the most generous, it seems. But let me ask you this. I want to kind of go off on a tangent already here, but you sparked an interesting thought, which is you talked about our society of go-getters.
Yeah.
Would you maybe say that a lot of people suffer because we're very like a service-based society, but not so much about building our own wealth and then giving? Like, it's a lot of working for other people, dividing your day into time to give away to other people, even if it's not your job, you know, your kid's principal and then all the responsibilities and the tax man and all these things are eating up your day. Do you feel that there's a little bit of like, if we would focus on ourselves more, cultivate our own talents, build our own riches and be a little bit more conscious of our own garden, that would allow us to then have the ability to give more and impact more? Like, do you know what I'm saying? This kind of link between personal development and the ability to give at a high level. Not to say that not everyone can be giving right now, but you know what I'm saying here? Like, tend to our own garden to best serve others instead of just dividing up our time constantly and giving it away.
Well, that's an interesting question. And I think that it's a twofold question. So number one, if you're giving from depletion and you're giving out of obligation, you know, you're not really building up your garden, right? You're depleting your energy. But if you live from a place of how can I be of service, at like, it's the impression of increase, right? It's like, how do I deliver more value versus, oh, I got to take care of myself. I need to develop myself. Of course we need to do that. And if it's like, oh no, I can't give to you because I need to develop myself first, I don't agree with that. I think those aren't mutually exclusive. That's right.
That's a good point.
At all. And I think the true key to success is giving. It's coming from that place of giving more value than people are even paying you to give. I'm not even talking about just giving things away. It's like if you're delivering a service.
Yes.
You're looking for how much value can you give to that person?
Mm-hmm.
And as you do it, you're inspired. It becomes generative. You become like a magnet. I mean, I think a lot of the reason that I've done so well is that, you know, people want to be a part of something big. They want to be able to give. People thank me, Jordan, for the opportunity to donate to the Unstoppable Foundation.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
But this is an important distinction. When I first started this project, you know, like 20 years ago around the giving concept, and I was raising money, I thought that they were actually giving to me and my projects, right?
Hmm.
What I didn't get until later is that I literally, and the Unstoppable Foundation is simply a vehicle for the good that they will experience through giving.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very important distinction. So I'm not, you know, I used to feel like, you know, oh, thank you so much, you know, and I still have that. But I'm literally standing in the knowing that as they give, their life will be transformed.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a, you know, it's a big paradigm shift, but I know it. I know what happens to me. I give. I can't think of a better way to live than come from a place of giving. And again, not out of obligation, but out of true inspiration.
Totally. I think it's for the place from which it comes. That's such mm-hmm. a good point. If it comes from like depletion, like you said, yeah. or guilt or any of these things,
right.
it really should be easier than that. And I think mm-hmm. that we get mm-hmm. caught up in our own little ways. But I love what you said about,
for sure.
you know, I am really glad that there's people like you, Cynthia. Last year, for instance, just a little personal anecdote, I played No Limit Texas Hold'em poker for charity. I give away 20% of my final table winnings, and I feel very fortunate to mm-hmm. be able to look amongst a couple people like you and say, you know, for my next run, who am I going to play for? Who's doing
right.
something? Who's dedicating
right.
their lives? And, you know, I'm winning $5,000 tournaments. It's not very much money to someone like you, but like, to me, it's a huge deal, and it makes me feel so good. And it
yes.
also ties into what you said earlier about the 100 homes. I would
yeah.
win one and go, that's not enough. I got to play for them again. It's kind of, I don't want to say addicting,
yeah.
but it gets you going. When
it
you
is.
Start giving, you want to give more. Like that.
There's no question.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that gives you the high. They actually call it helper's high.
Yeah, totally.
Literally. And there's nothing that gives you that experience of joy and
100%.
Gratitude. Yeah, then when you're giving, it's like, wow, what an honor. And again, it doesn't have to be a lot. So don't diminish what you're doing. It's like, it doesn't even matter. The number doesn't as matter as much as the energetic behind
totally.
It. And look how generative it is for you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And it's just, it feels good to like serve something, do something you're very good at,
yeah.
you know, like the
yeah.
accomplishment level on top of that. So yeah, I'm very grateful there's people like you out there who are designing many, many different ways, you know, for,
yeah.
for us to, because that's the thing. Money really just turns into energy at that
that's
point.
Right.
And it's about where you direct it.
That's exactly right. And people do want to give, you know, they want to feel significant. They want to know their life matters. And I think what stops people is they sometimes they'll think, well, where's the money going? How much, what percentage are you, you know, like all of that. And of course, all of our numbers are really great. But this is one thing that, and that's why people love donating to us. But this is one thing I learned from Bob Proctor. When he donates money, and he's a dear friend, he's been supporting us for, you know, 20 years, right?
Mm.
But he says when he donates money, he is not attached to what people actually do with it. He said they could actually take it and bury it in the backyard.
I like that.
No, seriously, because you know why? He understands the law of giving. It really
yeah.
isn't on them. It's on them, right, energetically to make sure they use the money wisely, but it's on him. Like he, when he feels inspired, he's giving and it always comes back to him tenfold.
That is really interesting. I like that. I like that anecdote
mm-hmm,
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Is it about positivity, this whole cycle? And then let me follow that up. You know, I just want to get your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Is it kind of this woo-woo magnetic force spiritual field, and I'm not downplaying that, or is it more of like a mathematical thing, this idea you bring positivity to your life, you bring giving and generosity to your life, and it reflects back onto you? Do you feel that's more metaphysical or concrete?
I think it's both.
Mm.
They have, you know, there's so much research. There's a book called Why Good Things Happen to Good People, and literally Dr. Stephen Post has an institute that's dedicated to exploring the power of giving.
Wow.
And they funded over 50 studies at 44 major universities.
Oh, that's so important. That's
they
great.
They worked with pioneering scientists across multiple fields, and the studies were conclusive that giving, not just positivity, giving, right, is
mm-hmm.
the most potent force on the planet and has a significant impact in every area of our life.
Mm.
And I mean, it's a great book, but it's like, you know, I mean, people who give help, like even people who are ill, people that have, you know, AIDS or, you know, multiple sclerosis, like there's all these studies.
Well, like health benefits.
When you're helping, you actually live longer than the person who's receiving the help.
Wow. That's
crazy.
And it
makes sense. Jordan, they've got doctors now that are prescribing giving activity. So instead of giving you something for your back or your headache or whatever, they're saying, you know, go donate your time to, you know, a soup kitchen.
Wow.
Like give. If you're depressed, the number one thing you should do is to look, how can I give to somebody else?
I believe that. That prognosis, yeah. I believe, you know, mm-hmm. And I know that it really is more of a complex issue than that, but there are so many people I see who suffer from a specific type of depression. They are truly depressed yeah. because they lack right. a meaningful purpose, I think.
That's right. 100%. And so there's a great story, Cammy Walker. She was diagnosed, she had just gotten married. She had this great job. She's at the top of her life, right? And she gets diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Mm.
And her health started going downhill. She's in and out of the hospital. She's depressed. And a spiritual teacher went and saw her in the hospital. And she said, Cammy, I understand what you're going through. I know this is hard, but you've got to stop focusing on yourself and the challenge you're experiencing.
Wow.
And Cammy was outraged. She's like, are you serious? Can't you see my situation? How can I not be focused on it? And she said, well, that's part of the problem, is that as you're focusing on your pain, you're focusing on your situation, it's magnified.
Wow.
And she gave her a very specific prescription. She said, I want you to give away 31 gifts in 31 days. And Cammy's thinking, what do I have to give? I'm in the frickin' hospital. And Cammy said, it doesn't matter. You could give away a prayer, right? You could bless them. It could be a smile. It doesn't matter. But it's from the place of where you're coming from. And so Cammy thought, well, it's not going to hurt me, right? Why not try it? So the next day she starts, and she has a friend that also has multiple sclerosis, and her friend's husband was out of town. So she thought, I'm going to call her just to encourage her. And after the phone call, she noticed that her spirits, you know, were lifted a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Every day she's looking for how can I give? And literally halfway into those 31 days, she started to get a spring in her step. There was like times where she didn't even have to use her cane.
Wow.
And I'm not making this up. And literally the 31 days, she thought, I want to do something really big. And she and her husband walked a mile, like, you know, to signify this new life.
Jeez.
Did she still have multiple sclerosis? Yes. But she realized that she had something that she could still give, that she, you know, had a purpose and yes. value. And again, you don't get that any other way than by focusing not on yourself, but on someone else.
No, I think we've got way too much time on our hands to just sit and think
yeah.
and look at other people's Instagram profiles and compare
right.
our lives
right.
to their pictures, when we probably should be, what, down there at the soup kitchen, or even, you know, like in the dirt in the garden, just
yeah.
something for our minds to. I think that the attention magnifying things
yeah.
is really a good point. Wow, that's a really, really poignant story.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So when I first started this years ago, I started a giving experiment. And I thought for 365 days, this is actually before I started the foundation, I wanted to focus on giving. And the first thing I had to focus on is myself. So how am I going to give to myself spiritually, mentally, physically? So I had the first part of that practice was every day, how am I going to give to myself?
Mm.
So, you know, to fill my cup, so to speak. And then
yes.
the other thing was, how am I going to give? And so I looked for people, you know, like that reached out, or I felt needed something. And it could be as simple as letting somebody pull out in front of you when you're pulling out of the, you know, the parking garage.
Oh, totally.
Like simple. But I'm telling you, I slowed down. I noticed I wasn't as annoyed. You know, if I'm at the grocery store and somebody gets in front of me, or
yeah, it changes you. That's wild.
That's right. So when I say give, I mean literally something simple like that. So it's not about us. It's not about what am I going to get, but truly, how do I use my energy of love, of presence, of financial resources, whatever it is, to be a blessing to someone else? And you can't be a blessing without receiving the blessing yourself.
I love that. Yeah, that's really great. And that ties into some of the stuff we were talking about last month as well. You know, giving to yourself to allow yourself to give to others.
Right.
And like you said, fulfilling your highest purpose,
mm-hmm.
you know, like some people are good at making money and they need people like you to disperse that energy. But maybe that's not you. Maybe you're an artist, but you can still give with your art.
100%. That's right. It's like, where are you uniquely qualified?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's teaching, you know, kids to paint, or I mean, who knows? It could be animals. It doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. Find something.
I love that.
And yeah, and it will change your life.
I love it. Now, talk to me about authenticity. You know, it's something that I feel is in short demand, especially like in the digital world, let's say, in our modern digitized world. Like authenticity is a very strange thing now, and I feel like it's yearned for when we see the authentic, right? When we see the person who posts the Instagram picture with no makeup, it's like, oh, so brave.
Yeah.
We yearn for that authenticity. Yeah. Talk to me about living an authentic life, what that means and what that can do.
Well, that is such a great question, Jordan. And I think a lot of it, like for me, example, years ago, you know, people are afraid of being quote unquote authentic because they have shame. Right. Mm. So it's like, oh my gosh, well, if you knew this challenge I was experiencing, or if you knew this part of me or whatever.
Right.
And I was really good friends with Debbie Ford. And I remember years ago, well, actually when I was younger, I experienced sometimes where I would feel depressed. And I had a lot of shame about, well, here I'd written a book at that point, you know, maybe my second book. And I still had moments where I would feel depressed. And finally, I told Debbie, and, you know, she's like the shadow queen, right? I don't know if you knew her, but she wrote Dark Side of the Light Chasers. Her whole thing is around working with the shadow side. Yeah. And she's like, Cynthia, that depressed little girl in you is making you who you are, right? It actually, it makes you this, you know, the person who's looking to give and to contribute and to be of service. And she reframed it for me. She's like, you love on that little girl. And what I find is I'm not inspired when I hear speakers and, you know, it's like their life is perfect. I've never been inspired by that.
Right.
Because that wasn't my life. But, you know, when you speak and you share what's true for you, it's like, oh, gosh, they're human too.
Yeah, it's like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Oh, they feel depressed sometimes. Oh, I do too. Or they've been through a divorce. Oh my gosh. And so I've just found the more authentic I am in my sharing, the more people relate and feel more inspired.
Yes, absolutely true. Yeah. And
you know?
Yeah, there's definitely a demand for it out there because I don't know what kind of strange world we've crafted for ourselves in terms of expectations and what to do with these human sides of ourselves that have somehow become taboo. But I do think it's all evolution. We're all headed in the right direction. But it's just so strange that we've crafted our society like this. And I'm glad that there's thought leaders out there really talking about this stuff. It's important. Mm-hmm. I mean, geez, Cynthia, can you imagine if they taught stuff like this in school? You know, relationships, emotions, finances. That's what life becomes about when you they didn't tell us anything about purpose when I was a kid.
But I
feel like it's coming about. So I think there is good news there.
Well, look at what you're doing. I mean, you know, you've got
thank you.
You know, seriously. So it's like enough people bring their beautiful, you know, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And the more real we can be about that human experience, the more inspirational and more relatable we are to other people.
Like
that's the bottom line, you know,
That's great. I wanted to ask you, for the people who are listening, who are struggling out there, we got a lot of Lifebook members who are on track, but everybody struggles.
Yeah.
You have some great advice. You have some great principles and strategies from moving from a struggle to success and real significance.
Well, so yeah, I mean, if people are struggling, I think the first thing is just to, like, you know, bring some love to yourself, right? Sometimes it feels overwhelming. And hey, life is not easy. And the human experience can be really challenging.
It can be brutal sometimes.
It can be brutal. So I think number one is just to realize, you know, A, it won't last forever, right? And where is it? What is it that, you know, they say it's not happening to you, it's happening for you. And I really believe that. So it's looking like, what is here for me? What is here for me to learn through this? It doesn't mean it's good or bad, but where's the opportunity of growth? And I think the number one thing I would encourage people to go from struggle to significance is to look how you can be of service. There's no other way for me that I can think to really, you know, if you're struggling, it's like you're giving, right? You're feeling better. You're starting to get the energy. You're starting to attract people. Mm-hmm. So I would look at how can I do a giving experiment? Like, you know, the Cammie Walker. It's like, what can you do every day looking for? How can I do one thing that will brighten somebody's day, that will make somebody's life better? Mm-hmm. And I can promise you, as you do that, it shifts your vibration. Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, there's many, many things I would recommend, but I think in service to what we're talking about, looking for ways of giving and being of service, you know, then you attract what you need. But I think it starts with, you know, how can I give what I have?
Yes.
And knowing that there's value in that.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Self-love has come up a couple times, and I think that's the first mm-hmm. step. That's what you started that answer with.
Yeah.
And then again, there's just something so desperately needed from our disconnected society when it comes to the interaction and giving to others and the transfer of love, the transfer of love energy from one person to another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that opens up a world of opportunity too, you know?
Definitely. I mean, it really, I can't overstate it. Like when I was telling you with that book and stuff, I mean, it really isn't just a foo-foo woo-woo thing. There is scientific evidence that, you know, when we do give and we are generous, we are blessed even beyond the giver. What's interesting about that is Sir John Templeton, you know, was like a billionaire, and people would ask him, you know, what's the secret? How can I be as successful? He was like one of the most successful stockbrokers of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. And he had one recommendation for them. He said, tithing.
Wow.
Tithing, which is a regular, it's like bringing it to the next level. It's a regular way of giving.
Yeah.
And he said, I've never known anyone who didn't give away, you know, money regularly that it didn't come back to them tenfold. And he said, don't wait until you have something. Start where you are today.
Yes. So true. And, you know, I want to clarify there, when I talk about the spiritual or metaphysical aspect of giving, I wasn't trying to downplay it, because exactly what you just said, it appears everywhere in spiritual, spiritual principles all over the world.
Right.
There's clearly a metaphysical impact. Yeah. I just wonder if it's more like analyzable. Like it might not be. It might just be part of the spirit world and we fully cannot comprehend it. But part of me wonders if it's more of a math equation that these ancient spiritual principles were pointing towards. And I liked your answer, which was it's both, which I totally agree with.
Absolutely.
But it's just so fascinating to see that of all these pillars of spirituality, contribution, giving to others is present almost every time, except for like the wackiest of religions. It's like it's everywhere. It's
That's
everywhere
right.
when it comes to deep thought and deep spiritual exploration.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do too.
I love it too.
And I do love that there is now scientific evidence, because I think that's important for people.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I mean, I think there's something to
those
that.
Those worlds they're coming together. I was going to say they're
that's
clashing,
right.
but they're really actually blending. They're embracing
right.
one another. And I'm super fascinated to see, you know, I've said it before on this podcast, nothing gets me more excited than when they hook, you know, monks up to EKG machines, like master meditators,
right.
and see, I'm just like, oh my God, like that's the most interesting thing in the world to me. It is
it is
that combination of the, the spiritual and the scientific. I wanted
Absolutely.
To bring it back around though, to your work with all these incredible people, with the Unstoppable Foundation and all the high powered individuals you must meet. I mean, you've already discussed so many encounters.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about how we can be a little bit more brave, a little bit more unstoppable, what we can bring, what characteristics and aspects we can bring that you've seen in, you know, the people who you are interacting with.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because when I was going to leave a corporate job to write my first book, you know, I hadn't written anything more than a college term paper in my entire life. So it's like, I didn't think I could write a book, but I was inspired by these stories. You know, I mean, they were like my lifeline. What I found, Jordan, is having the courage to say yes to that voice that it doesn't make sense. Like, for example, when I, I was a best-selling author, I was a coach, I coached thousands and thousands of people. I had like these team coaching sessions, taking people through my Unstoppable Challenge. And, you know, I had that still voice. It's like, you know, you should do your foundation full time. And I would argue with it, like, what are you talking about? I'm a single woman at the time. I'm married now. but you know, I was single. I'd gone through a divorce. How am I going to support myself? Who's going to pay me to ask people, you know, to donate money? And finally, I just had to say yes to it. And it doesn't mean that I haven't had struggles, but it's like mm-hmm. the support has always been there. Mm-hmm. But we'll never get the support if we don't take the leap. And I think the number one thing for me is having the courage to follow that inner voice, to yes. say yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once you start that, it puts things in motion. The motion doesn't start until you say yes.
I love that. That can be a big leap of faith for some people, but it comes back to what you said earlier, which is this is all opportunity for growth. We fear failure.
Right.
But even in the failure, there's one thing we talk about at Lifebook, which is people will come with all these kind of problems or failures. They'll say, you know, I lost my job, failed marriage. Sometimes it's big stuff. Sometimes it's littler stuff. And the question should always be, did you grow?
Yeah.
Well, at my new job, I don't get paid this much. Well, did you grow from the experience?
Right.
Well, my last wife was, well, did you grow from that experience? If the answer is yes, it's a win.
That's right.
So
absolutely. I love that.
Yeah. It's
I love like setting, you know, making the success work for you instead of your, you know, you're your worst enemy. And that's the truth. If you grew, if you learned, it's all feedback anyway.
Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, there may be a mm-hmm. perception issue because the
that's
good
right.
thing about humans is you can mm-hmm. learn from almost anything. And
that's
if you get good enough at learning your mistakes, you can even learn from other people's mistakes and
that's
avoid
right.
them. I mean, it just if you can get objective enough, it gets beautiful.
That's right.
It gets very, very fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. This is great, Cynthia. What else do we want to talk about here? Before we wrap it up, just I want to talk a little bit about your work and your mission.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know, educating children across the world, that's got to feel so incredible. What's it like? How are you feeling right now? Why is it so important to you? What are the rewards for such incredible work?
Yeah. Well, you know, it all started, where I was invited to this conference in rural Kenya. And the only thing I knew about that conference was that women were coming to share their stories. So again, it's that little voice. I was looking for what's that next project for me.
Mm.
So I ended up going, I met all these women and, you know, they told me stories that absolutely broke my heart. And at first I was feeling this huge amount of empathy, but then I just got pissed off. And I thought, how is it okay that kids are dying? You know, 1 out of 5 kids are dying of malaria or
right.
dying of waterborne illnesses. And as I was leaving the conference, you know, I'd fallen in love with these women and they said, please, don't forget us. And I'm thinking, well, who am I and what can I do? So I literally had my 50th birthday party. I turned it into a fundraiser. We raised money. We raised $80,000 that went towards 2 classrooms.
Nice.
And that was the beginning of that next trajectory for me. And I really looked at, I did some research and I got, okay, what am I going to do? Right? It's like, okay, now I'm serious. And I learned in a developing country, you can build a school, but if you're not providing access to clean water and healthcare and nutritious food and training for the parents to generate an income, it is not a sustainable solution.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, great. Instead of just building a school, I got to provide all 5 pillars. And I found a partner. So again, it's like, okay, I said yes. And then I found a partner who had just started implementing those pillars. And we start, this is 10 years, actually 11 years ago. And we started a program called Sponsor a Village. Mainly right now, we were working in Kenya in the Maasai Mara. But not only are we bringing these 5 pillars to these communities where now they're not marrying off their daughters. Literally, Jordan,
wow.
girls are married at 12 and 13 years old for a dowry of 2 or 3 cows.
Wow.
It was historic. And now that they've got an opportunity to go to high school,
wow.
not only primary school, but high school. And we just launched a college with our partners where you can become a nurse, a doctor, an agronomist, a mechanic. It's like, you know, a civil engineer. Like it's changing an entire region of the world. And it's like you get one generation, right? These children will then be able to train their own children.
Yes. It's going to shift the life path for the next generation completely.
That's right. So it's like, you know, I'm blessed because I get to be a part of, you know, seeing the transformation. The people who support it are blessed because they're the miracle that these children are waiting for. And of course, the children and their families' lives are blessed. So it's like this win-win-win.
There's no better people to deserve it. I've been to the Maasai Mara. Are the Kenyan people the happiest people in the world or the second happiest people in the world? They're incredible. Kenyans are so warm. Their smiles are so special. And those Maasai cultures are so interesting with the Maasai warriors, and they jump.
They
do the jumping ceremonies. And that's really interesting that I haven't been to Africa much, but that's one of the places I've been. And there's no people that makes me so happy that they're getting that help that they need.
And they're fantastic. You know, can I just share one quick story?
Of course.
Okay, good. So this student, one of our students, her name is Betty. And when Betty was in a unique situation in that her mom and dad both were committed that she goes to high school. Most girls, like I said, are married off after fifth, sixth grade, something like that. But her mom and dad knew if she didn't get an education, her life wasn't going to change and for the better. So they, you know, worked, you know, did all sorts of things to be able to keep her in school. Grade 10, her father passed unexpectedly. And within 1 week, they had no resources, no food. And Betty's like, Mom, I've got to quit school. And her mom's like, you will not quit school, right? It is too important. And don't worry about us, you know, with the kids, her siblings, six siblings. She just continued to, you know, I don't want to even say extra jobs because it's like, you know, reselling eggs or it's not the same thing, but they work really hard.
Yeah.
So Betty's able to graduate from high school, but her dream was to become a nurse. But guess what? In the Maasai Mara, there were no colleges. There wasn't an opportunity for her to become a nurse. So what did she do? She went back to live with her mother. And for 6 years, she's helping her mom and her siblings. She's back to fetching water, back to, fetching firewood, buying and selling eggs. And she got freaking depressed, right? And she lost hope. She said, God, if this is all my life is going to matter, right? The only thing I'm going to be able to do is fetch water, fetch firewood, buy and sell eggs. I don't even want to live.
Right. It's so tough.
And she was fetching the water and she was at a river and there's crocodiles and you've been there, you know, snakes and hippos. And she thought about jumping in. And she had a thought, well, what's my mom and my sisters and brothers going to do? It's just going to make it harder. And then she had this thought, what if tomorrow there was a miracle and I wouldn't be there to receive it?
Whoa. I love that.
Seriously. So she thought, no, I'm not going to quit. I've, you know, 6 years, like I'm not going to quit. I'm going to be here for my miracle. 2 weeks later, Jordan, a neighbor told her about the college. It's called We College. And the scholarships, right? We provide 100% of those scholarships for free. And they told her, and guess what program we were just launching at that time? Nursing. And it was like, you know, and she's like, oh my God. And she told her mother. Her mother said, apply. And a few weeks later, she was one of 20 students accepted into the nursing program. She's in it right now.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
What I love about that is I think anybody who's discouraged, number one, it's like if you're tempted to quit, if you're tempted to let go of your vision, if you're tempted to let go of that business idea, it's like, what if tomorrow was your miracle and you already gave up?
That's such a good point.
You already quit.
I love that line.
And then the other piece is, what about if you're feeling inspired to help someone? What if you're the miracle they're waiting for?
Yes, exactly.
So I love that story.
What an inspiring piece of wisdom from so far away.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing that on my program. I'm gonna spread that around. That's incredible.
Honestly, I couldn't even, she just came out recently. We had an event and literally for a couple of days, I couldn't even tell her story because I was so choked up emotionally. And I told Betty, her name's Betty. I said, Betty, you called us in. You know, here she is, a girl in the Maasai Mara. Think of all the things that had to happen for a college to be launched there. And
right.
I believe her consciousness, it's like she called us in.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, so I just think, and what a blessing to be a part of her miracle. It's like, you can't put a price tag on that.
Thank you for sharing that. That's a wonderful anecdote. And best of luck to Betty.
Seriously.
What a tuned in, you know what I mean? That's awesome.
Yeah.
What a great happy ending.
It really
ending.
Is. Yeah. I mean, talk about manifestation. I mean, that's a perfect, they didn't call it that, but she had the consciousness to really even have that thought. It's very totally. Profound.
Cynthia, yeah. This was a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I feel like we really had some great chemistry here. If my listeners are super interested in what you're doing and in you, where can they find you? Give out a website, Instagram, anything like that?
Well, unstoppablefoundation.org. I'm sure we have Instagram too, but I don't even know what that is as far as how you would find that. But unstoppablefoundation.org is the website where there's lots of information. Mm-hmm. If you feel inspired there, you could reach out. There's ways that you can become involved. But Jordan, thank you so much for the invitation. I really, really enjoyed it and love what you're up to and the service that you're bringing to so many people. So I appreciate being a part of it.
Of course. Thank you, Cynthia. I really had fun this conversation. And thank you, Lifebook members, for tuning in for Life Vision Month. We got 2020 coming up here. It's going to be an incredible year. I can't wait to start the cycle all over again. I hope you had a wonderful Life Vision Month. Make sure to give out there, people. Make that a priority in your life and see the magic start working. And that's all, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. This is Cynthia Kersey and Jordan River signing off, wishing you an extraordinary day. Bye-bye, everyone.